You are Locked On Angels, your daily Los Angeles Angels podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Rendon turns on one, skies it to left. McCutchen back. See you later. He launches this one to left. See you later. On a booming double off the wall for Tony Two Bags. Anthony Rendon with his first hit of the postseason.
Almost 320, all the home runs he hit. To have the year that he had, back up the Briggs truck, because this guy is going to get paid this offseason.
The news du jour, Anthony Rendon departs the Nats, signs a lucrative, or is about to sign a lucrative seven-year deal worth $245 million with the LA Angels.
Hey everybody, welcome to Locked On Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. You're locked in with Taylor Blake Ward. A wacky Wednesday turns into a thrilling Thursday. Anthony Rendon is an Angel. What a pivot move from Billy Epler and Artie Moreno to get one of the game's best offensive players, not just offensive players, one of the game's best players. Finished third in MVP voting in the National League this year, just 29 years old. Signs for 7 years, $245 million. What an exciting 24-hour span. Well, not even 24-hour span, 48-hour span it was for the Angels. Heck, you even want to go back to 72-hour span for the Angels. Anthony Rendon, now a member of the Angels. This comes on the heels of the Angels losing out on Gerrit Cole as he went to the Yankees on a record-setting deal. But I think when you look at this big picture here when signing Anthony Rendon, the Angels have preached and focused on run production and run prevention and finding the balance between the two. Gerrit Cole obviously would have assisted heavily to the run prevention side, but what Anthony Rendon does on both sides of the ball, he's such a great defender, not only run production, which he's one of the best at, not just, you know, you look at old numbers, RBIs and home runs, but you look at the analytics of offense too, he's fantastic, and the defense that he brings at third base. Oh, we're going to touch on that and a lot more as we get into today's show. But before we get into anything more, we got to remind you to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Angels. You can follow me personally at Taylor Blake Ward. Also, make sure to download today's show or any of the episodes to a Locked On Podcast Network via Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or whatever podcasting platform you use to listen to today's show. Now, taking a look at Anthony Rendon, just going back over the last 3 years, the fourth highest wins above replacement total in all of baseball. Now, value is measured in different senses. You could say that that is the sense of value is WAR, or you could look at other ways. But regardless of how it is, when you look at the analytics of this game and you look at Anthony Rendon, you see that he has had the fourth most value by this, you know, standard metric. It's not an end-all metric, but such an important metric for so many people. Fourth in baseball over the last 3 years. On average, we're looking at this as I'm pulling it up here, you know, a 6.7 WAR in 2017, 6.2 in 2018, 7 total in 2019. That's not forgetting his 6.4 wins above replacement in 2014. This guy has been what, you know, you call a 6-7 win player. There are not many 6-7 win players in the game of baseball. And it's remarkable to believe that when we look at these projections for Anthony Rendon next year, he's expected to be a 5.5, 5.6 win player, 5.5 wins added. That's just projection. Now, you look at the replacement level, and he can outperform this, obviously. You look at his projections in total, as we're going to touch on in a little bit. Adding those 5 wins for next year alone, that's pretty remarkable rate just looking at this in general. And you're going to add on more. On the offensive perspective, 8th in weighted runs created plus, which is an analytic that takes all of the offensive categories together, mashes them together, and generalizes the offense. 8th in baseball over the last 3 years. We look at last year, he had a 154 weighted runs created plus. Now, if you're unfamiliar with this, it measures everything that you do offensively and kind of calculates 100 is average. So a 154 weighted runs created plus just last year, he was 54% better than the average hitter. So 1.5 times the average hitter already. I love that one of my favorite statistics here is his strikeout rate. 13.5 over the last 3 years. It was 13.3 last year. It's gone down steadily over the years. This guy is such a high contact bat. As we'll know, he hit .319 last year. Now, batting average is such a great concept. I love the idea of batting average. I know it's not everyone's favorite here, but a .412 on base percentage, .319 average, .598 slugging percentage. That's almost a .600 slugging percentage. Hit 34 home runs last year, drove in 126, scored 117 times. These numbers, you don't just suddenly add these numbers, and that's what the Angels did. Now, they did this at $35 million a year for 7 years, but that's fantastic. You get Anthony Rendon during his peak years. You look at the average peak years, about 28 to about 32 is the average peak years. The Angels are going to get that for the first 3 years of this 7-year contract. Now, you know, you do have a little bit of concern about when he hits that 6th, 7th year and he's in his mid-30s, but if Anthony Rendon can produce at the rate he is, it's pretty remarkable. Looking at Anthony Rendon, such an athletic guy as well, you know, we're going to touch on his defense here. Looking through his defense, he's been the fourth most valuable defender at third base, according to the analytics here, since 2017. Now, you look at the guys that are ahead of him here. Matt Chapman, very obvious. Nolan Arenado, almost even more obvious. Kyle Seager, and we've seen it firsthand here in the AL West. Kyle Seager is a fantastic third baseman. But Anthony Rendon is right there with those guys, maybe a tick behind Chapman and Arenado, obviously. But the run production that we're going to see over the years, the athleticism of how his bat, and when you watch his bat, the bat speed, the contact rates, his bat's not going to regress the way that many others have. And you can see that just in the way he swings a bat, how he performs, and the defense is going to stay there. If his defense starts to flounder a little bit, 2 years from now, you're going to have a very, very large opening at first base with a lot of money that's coming off the books too. Obviously, you're very familiar that this is Albert Pujols we're talking about. But if Anthony Rendon's defense regresses, which it shouldn't, you can move him over to the opposite corner at first base and find the value there. I love this signing for the Angels. Anthony Rendon with the Angels for the next 7 years. Now, in the second segment, we're going to talk about what impact this has on the Angels, not only in the lineup, but also the potential moves they can do along with that. Before we head to the second segment, though, we got to talk about Breaking Tee. Now, Breaking Tee is a t-shirt company that ties in with the passion moments of sports. These passion moments happen with every team and every fan base, and then Breaking Tee jumps on the moment to make t-shirts that make the moment live forever. When these moments happen, such as when Anthony Rendon signs with the Angels, we're going to join in with Breaking Tee to make these t-shirts available to our listeners through www.breakingtee.com/lockedon. And I'll tell you what, I've got a good connection with these guys, and I think you may be seeing some Anthony Rendon shirts in the future. So you want to check that out? Head over to www.breakingtea.com/lockedon. Be right back with more Locked On Angels right after a quick word from our sponsors. Welcome back to Locked On Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day. You're locked in with Taylor Blake Ward. And in this first segment, we talked about the Anthony Rendon signing. Here in the second segment, we're going to talk about what it means for the Angels lineup and also future moves that are going to be happening over the next few months here. I'm bringing in a special guest to help us out, Fabian Ardaya of The Athletic. Fabian, how are you doing today, buddy?
Good. We're good. Wrapping up a pretty busy winter meetings, but I'm doing well.
Speaking of busy, I mean, that's an understatement, I feel like. Fabian, looking at what Anthony Rendon brings to this Angels lineup, obviously you can hit him third, you can hit him fourth, you can hit him just about anywhere, but there's going to be some odd men out of the Angels lineup, whether that's Tommy La Stella, David Fletcher. There's a multitude of guys that are going to be moved around here. What are you thinking the Angels lineup's kind of going to look like going into 2020?
I think it depends a lot on the next move that they make. I think it's interesting. Billy Epler has sort of always hinted that if they do add a big bat, that frees up a lot of what they have at second and third base, possibly for a trade if they do want to continue to add starting pitching, which they do. So it makes them a possible better trade lineup with a lot of clubs. I reported that the Angels are still looking into Corey Kluber, and that would make a lot of sense with the Indians with their need in the middle infield, guys like Urquijo, Fletcher, Tommy La Stella. But also, I think even if they hold pat and their other starting pitching moves come in the free agent market, I still think there's a way to make it work, especially with the new 26-man roster. They don't have a Justin Bour platoon with Albert Pujols at first base. Those at bats could possibly go to Tommy La Stella if you move them around. You can move David Fletcher around, as he's shown in the past. Luis Urquijo has played second, short, third, and a little bit of outfield in the past. The fact that you have so many different guys that can play all over the diamond is something that Billy Epler pointed to a couple days ago, and it's something that is still a strength to this team to have a lot of guys who are capable of playing different positions who you can mix and match. They're still in a strong position, but either way, they need to add pitching. So this allows them to possibly still do that, could even help them do it via trade, and that might be even more of an incentive, especially if they try to go after a guy who has a qualifying offer attached to him, which would cost them another draft pick in addition to the one they lost with the Rendon signing.
And you've hinted very much at my next question here, was what is the Angels' next move? Is it to go get a guy like a Corey Kluber or a David Price, maybe a Jose Urania, John Gray from the Rockies, or is it going to be someone like a Dallas Keuchel, Hyunjin Ryu, Madison Bumgarner? It sounds like you believe the Angels are on the trade front a little bit more than they are on the free agent front because of this draft pick attached, possibly?
I think it's more also just because the resources they have at hand now, especially with Rendon, it opens up guys like Rostella, Fletcher, and Hefo Theis to be a little bit more expendable when it comes to a trade. I know Billy was saying this, even dating back to the GM meetings, that he's received a lot of calls on the guys who are not only the top of the minor leagues, the Joe Adells, the Brandon Marshes, but also some of those guys who have broken in the last couple of years, those, as he called it, 0-3 guys, so guys who have not hit arbitration yet, are cost-controlled, and are still with the club for a long time. So they have trade assets that could allow them to maybe, whether it's minimize risk, like the guy, like the Bundy trade, for example, they could sort of minimize risk, knowing that while they have him for club control for 2 years, they can also cut their losses after a season or so and be fine. The trade market is what I feel like makes the most sense, considering that's one of the big, I don't know if it's benefits, but side effects of the Rendon signing, but also, they're not out of it when it comes to free agents, when it comes to Bumgarner, when it comes to Ryu, when it comes to Keuchel. I feel like they're still going to try and make a run at some of those guys just to see And I know Rick Porcello just came off the board, but guys like that, maybe they might still take a look at too, just to fill up more innings and give themselves more options. But I know Billy's also still high on a lot of the young starting pitchers that they have, guys like Jose Suarez, guys like Patrick Sandoval, Griffin Canning. It's just about managing what you're forcing them to do, making sure that they're not overexposed like they were last season. But he's still high on what they can provide upside-wise. So, I mean, there are pieces in the starting rotation that he feels are better than how they performed last year, but also that they are going to continue to have pitching.
Now, do you believe you mentioned these pre-arbitration players such as Luis Ranjifo, David Fletcher, almost said David Eckstein there, David Fletcher, but you also mentioned Patrick Sandoval, Griffin Canning, Jose Suarez. Could the Angels use their youthful pitching to acquire better pitching in a sense? I know that may sound weird and odd, especially since they need pitching, but could they use someone like Jose Suarez and Patrick Sandoval to improve the rotation?
Perhaps. I don't think Canning would be looped in that group. I feel like at this point he's kind of penciled in there when it comes to the starting rotation. But those other guys, I mean, it all depends on how other teams value them. I know the Angels still feel like Jose Suarez, despite a lot of his struggles, that he can be a quality pitcher at this level. And that part of it was pitch-tipping stuff that happened over the course of the season. Part of it, he was 21 years old and was just a couple of years removed from AA. And Sandoval was a similar case. Like, he had pretty much jumped almost immediately from AA to the big leagues and what came a year earlier than expected. So I know they feel like there's more in the tank with those guys, but, I mean, if they get knocked over with a good offer where they don't have to give up some of their top prospects and they give up some of those guys to try to get maybe a Kluber or something like that, I feel like that's something they would definitely consider and do.
Once again, we're talking with Fabian Ardaya of The Athletic. Now, Fabian, I want to ask you just about two or three more questions here. You did mention Corey Kluber. Do you know what the cost would be roughly when it comes to Corey Kluber? Would it take a prospect like Brandon Marsh, or would it take maybe a switch of Suarez, Sandoval, someone of that caliber? Or do you think they would acquire, you know, it would need someone that's a major league player such as David Fletcher?
That's interesting. I know, like, and part of it's also like how serious the Indians are about trading Kluber. Because remember, last winter the conversation was about Kluber and Bauer, they're getting shot. Bauer didn't get traded till the deadline. Kluber, obviously, still with the Indians because of the injuries he had last year. But, I mean, it depends on how they view, like, how the Indians view Kluber and what type of money the Angels are taking on there. If they can take on the entire salary, then maybe that will obviously help alleviate some of the prospect load they have to give up. Or, regardless, it's about matching those up. I think there's a way that they could try to pull it off without giving up Adele or Marsh. I know Billy Epler made it pretty clear that Adele's not going to get traded in a one-year scenario. And probably, I would imagine, this is just my guess, but I don't think it'd be for a two-year scenario, which is what Kluber would effectively be. But I feel like they can do it where if you match up needs, where the Indians need middle infield help that's big league ready, so you can look at a guy like Ranjifo or Fletcher, maybe see if they are a fit there, along with a piece like a Jordan Adams or something like that, who was a little bit younger, one of those level prospects, lower level. And maybe it requires throwing in a pitching prospect in there as well. But I feel like there's a way that the Angels make a package that doesn't include either of those top two guys. But we'll see what the asking price is for the Indians. That's another big thing. It's like they've played this game before. They've thrown those names out there before. So they might be pretty selective with what they want in the package.
Now, Fabian, the Angels obviously still have one kind of outside of the rotation, which is very obvious. They still have one major hole to fill, and that's behind the plate at catcher. Does it seem like the three major free agents that are remaining in the catching market, Martin Maldonado, Jason Castro, and Robinson Chirinos, are essentially kind of the targets as we look at it right now? Or do you think that someone like a Wilson Contreras or someone else on the trade market could be that guy?
I do know the Angels are in on Castro and Martin Maldonado. Billy Epler also said yesterday, like, they're looking at three to four free agent catchers, two in the trade market. We'll see. But I think Martin Maldonado and Castro are the two names that have surfaced so far. And they both make a lot of sense for what Billy Epler values in catcher. Obviously, he's acquired Martin Maldonado in the past. He's worked really well with Shohei Ohtani, among all the pitchers on the Angels pitching staff. He's a great framer, which he says he values even more now with so many young pitchers on the roster. And Castro has some of those the same qualities as well. And I think both of those seem like pretty logical fits. Contreras is interesting because the framing, like I mentioned before, is not there for him, but he's got a lot more of the bat. He's got a lot more of the other defensive tools besides framing. And I think I've seen some stories that his framing numbers actually were improving that last month in Chicago. So, I mean, it might be a possibility, but I know the Angels' focus right now is on the pitching market, and we'll see what happens when it comes to some of those catchers that are still left when some of that dust settles a little bit.
Now, Fabian, this is going to be the most important question I ask you all winter long. Where have you been eating food in wonderful San Diego?
Here's the thing. I haven't been able to leave the hotel too much just because the Angels have been seemingly involved in something every single day, whether it be Cole or Fredon. So I haven't been able to leave that much, but it's been a lot of Mexican food, which is as anticipated, as expected, and just amazing. I had some great street tacos yesterday at Taqueria Los Chiqui, and that was amazing. So, get some taco quesos while you're there, and then I think your experience in San Diego will be worth it.
If you get the chance, head out to the Gaslamp District. Head over to Croce's. I love that place. And also, if you're doing the taco truck rounds, find somewhere near Imperial Beach. It's a taco truck that sits down there. They have some of the best Al Pastor tacos in the world.
Oof, I'm going to have to do that. Al Pastor is really what gets me. So I'm going to have to do that.
Fabian, thank you so much for taking the time with us today. I know you're pressed for time. And I hope you had a wonderful winter meetings, and I hope to see you soon, buddy.
Absolutely. Thanks, man.
Once again, that is Fabian Ardaya of The Athletic. You can follow him on Twitter at Fabian Ardaya. Also, subscribe to The Athletic. They got some great holiday deals. They cover all sports across the entire nation and international. Definitely worth checking out. That's all we have for today's show. Thanks for tuning in. Thank you to Fabian Ardaya of The Athletic for coming on and helping us preview what's next for the Angels, as we'll touch on going into next week. If you want to be a part of next week's show or just simply interact with us, make sure you follow us on Twitter at LockedOnAngels. You can follow me personally at Taylor Blake Ward. When you do that, you can be a part of our Sunday night Twitter question answer, where I send out a tweet about 9 o'clock Pacific time saying, send me any and all your baseball questions. I'll answer them here through midnight. Best ones make the show on Tuesday. Now, just as a side note, we are going to push our Sunday night Twitter question answer to Monday this week, so look for that tweet on Monday night. Also, don't forget to download or subscribe to today's show or any of the episodes on Locked On Podcast Network via Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or whatever podcasting platform you're using to listen to today's show. Reminder, today's show is brought to you by Hotels.com. Don't hate like your friend's trip. Book your own through Hotels.com and get rewarded basically everywhere. Hotels.com. Be there. Do that. Get rewarded. Blake Shelton's going to help us bring back the sunshine as Anthony Rendon is making Anaheim shine bright for the next 7 years. Thanks for tuning in for Locked On Angels. I'm Taylor Blake Ward saying stay nasty, Anaheim. We'll see you on Tuesday.